Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, March the, what is today? 10th. Oh, boy, I about lost the date there, Mary Ellen. March the 10th, 2023. I kept thinking March the 11th, but March the 11th is Pancake Day. Yep. That's where I was going wrong. March the 10th here, Getaway Friday, and it is 13 minutes past the hour. Mary Ellen Withrow is with us today. Mary Ellen, let's let people know your museum at the Heritage Hall. Heritage Hall here in Marion is open and can be visited, and it's a great thing.
Yes, yes, it's there waiting for people to look at everything.
Absolutely. Now, you'll be there later this month, is that right?
Yes, I'll be there March 25th, and I'll be there, let's see, yeah, then I'll be there April 11th with the Waldo Women's Club, and it's there.
Yeah. And then on April 15th, you'll be over in Sycamore.
Yes, all day. Mary Ellen Withrow Day in Sycamore.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, over the years, I know it's probably, what is something that you really enjoyed attending that you were invited to like that? An event in Sycamore?
Oh, I like all that stuff.
Yeah, fun stuff.
I do. Yes, I thought, well, how nice. You know, Fred Malone arranged this, and I said, I think he's going to be my PR man.
You might have public relations, absolutely.
Yes, right.
You know, and a lot of great stuff like that happens, and it's great now that the pandemic has slid down a little bit, and yes, we can get out and do that sort of thing.
Yes, the pandemic destroyed a lot of things.
A lot of events went downhill.
Yeah.
You know, when we look back at that presidential election during the pandemic, can you ever imagine having anything like that again?
No. I hope not.
It was certainly a messy situation. Oh, Mary, I think we have another call coming in, Mary Ellen, if you want to put the headset on there. Now, it's interesting because a couple weeks ago, Mary Ellen and I were at Stewart's Root Beer for the big grand opening, and we posted a picture of that on the internet, and I had a very interesting response on the WGH Facebook page, an interesting story, and I wanted our guests to relay that story. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Who do we have on the line?
This is Mike Conte with Conte Construction and Design here in Marion.
Okay, Mary Ellen's here with us. Mike, tell the story that you told on Facebook.
Oh, yes, it was a very pleasant one. 1997, I can't forget that date, because the Cleveland Indians were in the series' seventh game, about to be played on Sunday afternoon, late in the afternoon, and down in Miami. And my two brothers and I had to travel there. And we got tickets at the last moment and found a flight out of the Akron Canton Airport at right around 7:30 a.m. in order to get down there. And so there we are driving from Marion to Akron, which is hometown, by the way. And we get in the airport, and we notice there's kind of a large entourage of people early, you know, a large group in the Akron-Canton Airport. We didn't know who it was. So we're proceeding down towards our gate, just walking through the hallway there. And lo and behold, we hear a voice come out of the middle of that entourage, and it's, "Hey, aren't those the Conte boys from Marion, Ohio?" And we turned around. And there was Mary Ellen Withrow, the treasurer of the United States, calling out our name. he recognized us, and we turned around. We said, "That sure is her." And kind of interestingly, she said, "You three boys all look like your father, Pete Conti Sr." And Mary Ellen knew our father pretty well.
Yes, yes. Well, my goodness, that's quite a story.
Yes, and you know, you were so gracious, as you always are, Mary Ellen, and very classy, too. And you said to the whole group, "I want the pleasure of introducing you to a family-owned business that's been in Marion." And you turned around, we said, "Yeah, 25 years. And she said, "They have had a major impact on our area, improving people's homes and improving the entire towns of Marion County. And they are a tribute to their father. They run a very successful family contracting business." And it was quite an introduction. And, you know, coming from the United States Treasurer herself, we were pretty proud to go home and tell our father about that. We said, "Hey, Dad, the World Series was great, but our experience at the Akron-Canton Airport was even better." And he said, "What happened up there?" We told him, and he said, "How about that?" He says, "Well, I certainly know Mary Ellen," but he says, "What's she doing in these parts? She's supposed to be out there working in Washington, D.C. And I says, "Dad, she was. She had a big group with her. She's working back in Ohio today."
Oh, my goodness. That is quite a story.
Yes.
You know, and, Mike, what did it mean to you to have somebody from Marion go on to that position, Treasurer of the United States?
Well, it was kind of an unbelievable thing. And, you know, since, by the way, I handle sales for the company, so I'm in a lot of people's homes in the area. Marion County and all the counties that touch us is our service area. And I would bring that up to homeowners when I made appointments with them for estimates for remodeling work. And I'd say, "What do you think of our hometown girl, where she is right now?" And they would all say, "Isn't that exciting? Little old Marion, Ohio." And it would be really pleasant to hear their response as to what, well, where Mary Ellen ended up. You know, it was a thrill for all the residents in this area. And I got to experience that with many people and many families right in their homes.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really interesting, isn't it? You don't know what people are saying about you, really, you know, and that's good to hear.
Well, and we keep at the same thing, Mary Ellen. I'm sitting here thinking today, we just finished a project. You probably know the intersection. East Market and Section Street. We just remodeled one of the LaRue, Ohio residents. New windows, a new siding. Is that... Can you conjure up where that is in town?
Well, I'm trying. What was the street?
It's Section Street and East Market, which is Route 95 as you're entering town.
Yes, okay.
So just as soon as you get in town, it's a place on the left. She's a librarian here in town, been there many years. And we were referred to her by another customer, so... we still work in the little town of LaRue, Ohio that you know so well.
Well, that's great.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for calling in. I thought that was a great story, and I'm so glad you made time to call in this morning.
Yes, I'm glad he did, too.
Okay. Well, so nice speaking with you and being a part of this, Mary Ellen, with you.
Yes, and good luck to you.
Thank you much. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yes, bye.
All right, Mike Conti. You know, that's interesting to hear a story. Like, when he put that on social media, when we put that picture up from Stewart's,
really?
I thought, boy, that's a great story.
It is. Yes, that's awfully nice to hear that.
You know, it's interesting what you said there. You never really do know what people are doing.
You don't, no. You know, I'm doing my thing, and you know, what people are saying about you, you have no idea.
Yeah. Now, when you would come back to Marion during that time, what was your feeling being a visitor during those years?
Well, I tell you, when I went to the grocery store, everybody would stop me in the grocery, and everybody seemed to know who I was, and it was, and it's still sort of that way, you know, still, there's still a lot of people And a lot of people don't know who I am, too, because it's been a long time. But it's great. I love it, you know.
Did you keep a scrapbook, or did anybody keep a scrapbook?
Well, God, yes, I've got books and books and books. There's so much stuff, and I was looking for something the other day. There's so much I've gotten that I've forgotten I've got.
Well, you know, I was just saying, the newspaper articles alone, when you became treasurer of the United States, boy, those could fill up books and books and books.
Right, and, you know, I saved quite a few of that, and... And then I don't look at it for a few years, and then I go back and look at it, and because I'm hunting for something usually, and I thought, my gosh, I didn't remember that, and there's so much to remember.
You know, you had said when we, I think the last interview we did, that you found out you were going to be treasurer of the United States on the anniversary of Kennedy's assassination.
Yeah, the 22nd of November.
22nd of November, 1993, mm-hmm. And you took that position on March 1st, 1994. Mm-hmm. What was that four-month period like?
Well, I was meeting with each individual in the finance department, Moynihan's committee, and... I met with, and somebody from the Treasury would go with me. but I don't think anybody was with me at Moynihan's. I think that's where he had a wire resemblance of Lincoln his son had made. I was fascinated with that. It was in his office, and it was all done with wires. Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah. But no kidding, I remember all of those visits, and it was quite an experience.
Now, we see now all these hearings that people have to go through to get into office. Mm-hmm. What was it like back in those days?
Well, there was no problems. Everybody was tickled to death. I was there because the Republicans were glad that I left Ohio. They didn't want me to run. And they were tickled to death I was in Washington. And I was tickled to death I was in Washington.
Yeah. How did that all first come to be? Who asked you if you were interested in that position?
Well, the women executives in state government called me first. And then the man that was head of the Democratic Party called me. He was from Ohio at the time. And... they both wanted to know if I was interested in the treasures. I said, absolutely. And it went from there. But it was kind of a long process.
Now, there are a few things. We talked about the householder Borges verdicts yesterday. What do you make of what's going on in East Palestine?
Well, I tell you, there's been a train wreck every day since then, almost. It's amazing. I feel sorry for those people because I'm sure there's a problem. And, you know, it sounds like it's something that's, I mean, they're trying to haul dirt all over the country. That's the dirt that's there. Can you imagine?
You know, if you're a family that lives there, what do you do?
Yes, they had this woman on the news last night. And she said, you know, we don't want to move. This is our home. And, you know, it would be very difficult. What are you going to do, you know?
And I think Aaron Brockovich has been there a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really turning into a big, big problem.
Right. And it, you know, when they show those pictures, it is a big problem.
You know, when something like that happens... I don't think anybody plans for it to happen, but I don't know what you do. I don't know how you get out of it.
Well, and this railroad is not going to have any money left if they're paying off everybody. They're going to have to pay off with all their accidents. I can't understand who's responsible for the tracks. That's where it's happening.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
When CNN came and did the big town hall... Our governor had the back and forth about the gentleman said, well, would you come and stay the night here? And Governor DeWine said, I've been there several times. And he said, yes, but not spending the night. And he said, yes, he would spend the night there. Do you think Governor DeWine's handling this the best?
Well, I hate to criticize him because it's a difficult situation. I don't know what to say about it. The fact that we don't know what's been done to the earth and the air, you know, they say the air is all right, but and then they give other instances where things like this have happened and it isn't. It goes on for a long time. Well, you know, and they talk about Camp Lejeune. Think about that. And then look at even here in our county, River Valley School District, the old school, and think about all of that. Yeah.
You know, this is the long-term effects of what's going on there in East Palestine could be horrible for the people who live there. And what are the property values going to be like for those people? I can't imagine very good.
Yes, and if you've got a farm, I mean, what are you going to do with your farm? Can you raise anything, you know?
I really, as we head into summer, I really don't know what they're going to do down there. It's going to be a scary time, and you know, I don't know what the end result is.
Yeah.
Now, something else I did want to talk about, the lawsuit that the Dominion voting machines have against Fox News. Now, this has been an interesting story.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Now, people have always felt that maybe Fox News is not on the level with everything that they're reporting.
Yeah, it's a little questionable.
A little questionable. But boy, I'll tell you, we're finding out now that they didn't even believe what they were saying. They were just told to go say it. What do you make of this story? A news channel.
Can you believe having to go on the air and lie? Can you believe that you could do that, Scott?
I can't imagine.
No, I can't either.
I mean, was it for people to watch? Is that what the sole goal was?
Yeah, and the thing is, they're not talking about it on that station, and the people that have watched it aren't hearing what's really happening because they're still watching that station.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Fox News made a horrible mistake by going after the Dominion voting machine company, because this lawsuit is what's bringing this all out.
Yes, yeah.
Now, it is interesting. Tucker Carlson is their big star, highest-rated program on Fox News. Now, he sent some texts out on January 4th, 2021. Now, this is Tucker Carlson. He said, there is no upside to Trump. He said, we are very close to being able to totally ignore him. I truly can't wait. I hate him passionately. That's what Tucker Carlson said about President Trump.
No kidding.
Now, not on his show, but those were text messages that he sent on January 4th, 2021, a couple days before the insurrection. Now, what does this say about Tucker Carlson?
Well, he's really something.
I mean, you know, to have an opinion on somebody is something, but to say, I hate him passionately?
Yes, right.
Can anybody watch Fox News at this point and believe anything that's going on over there?
Well, I never could watch it. I never have watched it, really.
Well, for them to call themselves news, I mean, it's okay, I guess, if you want to come on as entertainment and do that. Rush Limbaugh did that for years.
Yeah.
But people really believe that is news.
Have you ever heard Glenn Beck?
Oh, yeah, I've heard. But what do you make of Glenn Beck?
Oh, you know, he's another one. Yeah, I don't know what he's saying today. I haven't heard him for years. But when we were in Florida, which is about 5 years ago, people were late to this event we went to because they were listening to Glenn Beck.
Well, now, do you think, because I always have wondered that with Rush Limbaugh when he was in his heyday, a lot of people listened. Now, do you think everybody listening agrees with him, or do some people just listen because it's entertainment?
Oh, I think they just listen because it's entertainment. Yeah.
And I would say probably a lot of that with Glenn Beck.
Yeah. And I used to watch Trump because he was entertainment, I'm sorry to say.
Well, you know, that's, as we look back on that now, a lot of stations are saying, even CNN, we covered him all the time because people watch.
Yeah.
But it gave him free publicity.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to pay for any ads, and a lot of people feel that's what put him over the top.
That probably was.
You know, do people want, this is a big question, when it comes to politicians now, do people want an entertainer, or do they want somebody who knows what's going on?
Well, you know, I think they like a little bit of both. Yeah.
Well, you look at Dr. Oz, now he didn't win.
No.
But Trump did. Schwarzenegger, Arnold Schwarzenegger won out in California years ago. Jesse Ventura won in Minnesota. This was all basically entertainment.
Well, it's people's fascinating, they're fascinated with the individual. I think that's what it is.
You know, it's interesting because everybody, I think we just mentioned Dr. Oz, Donald Trump, Schwarzenegger, Ronald Reagan, certainly, although he was governor before he became president. They're all Republicans. Have the Democrats ever had somebody who was an entertainment person who actually got the office? Jesse Ventura was an independent.
And Millard Fillmore was an independent. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You know, and Millard Fillmore had an Ohio treasurer.
Oh, really?
Yes. See, what was his name? I can't remember right now. But, that came. And I'll tell you something else that I've been amazed at. Marianne Williamson is running for president, and I about fell off my chair. I went to Greece with her group, and Norman and I did, when on our 50th wedding anniversary. And I said, you don't run against a sitting president.
What do you think that is? You think that
I don't know what's wrong with her.
Do you think Biden will run again?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think his age will be an issue?
Yeah, it's an issue, but yeah. He seems to be all right. Yeah.
What? Why do you think age is an issue? We never say somebody's too young to do something.
Oh, yes, they are.
Well, some of them are. We don't bring that up, though, like older.
No, well, this has been, the media has done that to him. It was just like Al Gore. He was too strict or too, what was the word? He just was too...
I think people thought he was stuffy.
Stuffy. Well, yeah, I can't think of the right word, but that they started in on that with him and... You know, never quit.
You know, we've talked about this many times, but I, you know, the real thing behind it, every time a newspaper article is written about you, they put your age in there.
That's right.
Yeah, but, and I've watched this now for years.
Yes, me too.
Because they don't do that with anybody else.
No, they don't.
Why do you think they do that?
I don't know, because why? Why would they do that to me?
I don't, you know, and I can...
Maybe it's because I'm in politics.
But I never, when they run the people who are running for mayor, they don't put their age.
No.
I don't think they ran Mike DeWine's age.
Well, they're men. I'm a woman.
Well, now why does that... See, now this brings a whole other question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I've never understood why they put my age in. But they have done it religiously for all these years, ever since I was 39.
Beyond that, it's always been there.
Yes.
Well, what is strange about it to me is that, yeah. I guess when you were in office, I guess I could see it. I didn't understand it, but okay. If you want to put the age in there, that's fine. But now, even last year, when you had the induction into the Hall of Fame, they put your age there. And
I thought,
now what did that have to do with that story?
And there had other people in the article, but they didn't put their age.
No.
Well, I've never been able to figure it out. And
do they ask your age when they're there, or do they just know it?
They just know it.
They just know it. What's been printed?
It's printed all over everywhere.
Yeah. It was even odd to me when you had, and it was a great story late last year when they did that with the Associated Press of your museum and all that. But there were articles that said oldest living U.S. treasurer.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, what is that?
Well, you know, yeah, I probably am. In fact,
I know, what did that have to do with the story?
Well, that's true. When I was treasurer, I was very conscious of the fact that I was older than most people in that position. Maybe that's it. Because when I left the office, I was 71. And I was supposed to go onto a board, and they wouldn't take me on the board because of my age. They said, we don't take anybody after 70. And, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, on this board.
Now, what in the world would that have to do with anything?
Isn't that right?
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there is and maybe it's because it's been printed so many times. I don't really know. But, see, I've never really cared about age with anybody. Mm-hmm. I thought if somebody wants to do something, let them do it. But I do understand that other people, when somebody gets to be a certain age, and I don't know what it is, but they're afraid to ask them to do certain things.
Well, yes. Yeah, I don't think they're afraid to ask me to do anything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good that it stays out there. But
right.
I
kinda
just
like the guys tomorrow asked me to do this at the breakfast. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
They thought of me, you know.
And it's a great thing. And I think that you being there tomorrow doing it, you said you've never done that at Pancake Day.
No, I never have.
So that's great.
I poured coffee for some other group. Who was it? Out at one of the restaurants. Oh, I think it was at Bob Evans. I remember the coffee pots were heavy. Mm-hmm. And I hope the coffee pot isn't too heavy tomorrow. But
that can be the only problem with the whole thing.
Because I'm not as strong as I used to be.
Well, it's a fascinating thing because age in our society, we are very age conscious, apparently, with certain people.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, I don't think about my age really that much because I feel good and I like doing things and it just isn't an issue. Yeah.
Is there anything you miss doing that you don't, not necessarily because of age, that you just don't get much call to do anymore?
Well, I kind of like to bowl, and I don't think I could do the bowling ball anymore.
But other than that,
yeah,
you used to like to bowl.
Yeah, I like to play golf, and I couldn't do it worth a darn the last time I tried. You know, it just isn't there anymore.
That's one of those things, though, you have to stay really in practice for.
And I would like to run, but I can't run.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, is there a certain time in your life where you thought these things aren't as good as before? A certain age?
Well, when I tried to play golf, I thought, gee whiz, I didn't know I was that bad, you know. You know, my daughter bought a game for Norman and I to play at the country club, and he couldn't play either. We were both miserable.
That's one of those things you have to stay in practice for, that's for sure.
Well, it's just you lose your strength, yeah.
Is there anything left you still want to do?
Oh, yeah, I want to be active. Yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. I still like giving speeches, and, you know, I can go a million different directions with a speech. I can, and I'm proud of that fact.
What's the most, do you write your speeches? Are you extemporaneous? What's the process for you?
Well, my last speech I gave was totally without notes or anything at the thing at the Historical Society. But normally I have notes to keep me on track. Otherwise, I'm off in left field somewhere. Yeah.
When you were giving a lot of speeches when you were Treasurer of the United States, what was the big thing you wanted to convey? Or did it matter who you were speaking to?
Oh, it mattered who I was speaking to on what the message was, yeah.
You know, I know there are some speeches you gave on C-SPAN, if people want to look those up, when the new money was coming out. What was that period of time like?
Oh, it was great. You know, we had made a big deal about every bill that came out. The last one was the five. And we were... We finally had it in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and we had school children there. It wasn't quite as festive as some of them were. On the 50, we went all over the United States, and that was a big event, and I don't know, they just went all out for that one. And it's not the most famous favorite bill. I mean, the 50 isn't that well liked.
You know, when it comes to, because a lot of people make this, they're confused. Secretary of the Treasury and Treasurer of the United States. What is the difference?
Big difference. The treasurer takes care of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the Mint and marketed the savings bonds when I was there. Now, the new treasurer, she doesn't have the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. She has the Mint, and then she has a committee that involves American Indian, because she's American Indian. And so that's a different switch on this treasurer, but the Secretary of the Treasury has all of Treasury, and it's a whole bunch of organizations within Treasury that take care of different things, like the IRS and the when the Homeland Security came along, which was after me, they took the Secret Service, they took the ATF, they took they took a whole bunch. The guy that was Secretary of the Treasury went to Africa on a visit, lost half of his Secretary of the Treasury while he was gone.
Oh, really?
Yes. The president did that to him. Bush.
Well, yeah. That's not a good thing to happen.
No. He came home and he had half of the people there that he had before.
Now, you had a good relationship with the Clinton administration.
Oh, yeah.
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 Now, I do want to let people know we do have tickets to give away to Pancake Day here, and I thought everybody, we never did get our last answer, though, on that one question. Now, again, these the five, in my opinion, most well-known people in Marion, Ohio history. Now, we've got Eber Baker, Mary Ellen here, Warren Harding, and Florence Harding. Who is the person we're missing in that list? And we'll put you in to win some pancake tickets here for tomorrow. 740-383-9944. And then I thought we'd do this one while Mary Ellen's here, because I think this is fun. There are five positions that Mary Ellen held during her political career. Do you know what those five positions are? Now, just give me one at a time. If you give me one, I'll put you in for the drawing. We'll do it 1 o'clock. 740-383-9944. So the questions are, most well-known people in Marion, Ohio history, Eber Baker, Mary Ellen, Warren Harding, Florence Harding we have, still one missing, and the five positions that Mary Ellen held over her time in political office. 740-383-9944, and we still have pancake tickets to give away. Was there obviously Treasurer of the United States, I would imagine, but behind that, was there a favorite position you had?
Well, you know, state treasurer was a lot of fun, too. Really, I was responsible for so much money, but I had such a good relationship with all the state treasurers. We had a very close relationship, had a lot of good friends in that group, yeah.
What was it like being state treasurer in those days?
It was terrific.
We had Metzenbaum and John Glenn were in the
mm-hmm.
state.
Yeah.
You know, what was Metzenbaum? We have never talked much about him. What was he like?
He was a nice guy. He was very nice to me. I've always got along well with him. I always supported John Glenn, though. You know, when they ran against each other, I supported John Glenn. And it never seemed to bother Metzenbaum that I supported John Glenn.
What do you think? Because John Glenn ran for president a couple of times, and mm-hmm. here we have this this hero of NASA, but yet never could get the nomination. Well, why do you think that was?
Well, it's, you know, you can't judge because different things happen in different times. I don't know. That was a frustrating time, very frustrating.
It seemed as if everybody knew him when he ran.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was, I can't put my finger on it. It all had to do with money, though. Yeah.
You know, it is interesting that, of course, a lot of people associate you with Bill Clinton because of being under the Clinton administration, but you had a really good relationship prior to that with Al Gore.
Oh, yes, Al Gore was my buddy, yeah. Yeah, he would have made a great president.
How did you first meet Al Gore?
I met him in the back of an automobile going to the airport down in, you know, the airport down in Cincinnati, but it's in Kentucky. We were going from, I met him at in Cincinnati somewhere and rode in the back of the car with him down to the airport. And that was my first meeting. And I had not met him personally, but I had gone to hear him speak in Cleveland before that. And this is after John Glenn ran for president. And I had made up my mind to stay neutral through all this president, the presidency, running for president. And when I heard Al Gore, I said, I can't be neutral. I said, I've got to support him. He believes everything I believe. And so I came home and I said, I'm supporting Al Gore. And so then we had this meeting in Cincinnati, and he investigated me. I know he did because I could tell. And he was very supportive of me, and we just hit it off. I thought he was terrific. Yeah.
When you were out campaigning for office, what were the important issues to you?
Campaigning when?
For state
for
office.
State treasurer. Well, the embezzlement was the thing that I had to overcome, and so that was the big issue. And just think about that. You know, she lost over $1 million as state patrol money. Think about it, the worst one in the world you could lose. Yeah.
You know, when we look at anybody running for a state office or a national office now, they're always asked, whether it pertains to the office or not, they're always asked about gun control. They're always asked about abortion rights.
And I was.
And you were.
First thing they asked me was about guns. And I said, yeah, I'm for guns. Of course, back then I was. Now I'm not. But then the next thing was, where do you stand on the abortion? I said, well, I'm pro-choice, and that put me in a certain category, and it went from there.
Why is that question on abortion so pivotal to political races? It comes up in every election, state or national.
Well, and if you don't support it, you're not supported by the groups that support it, which are the... what's the women's group right now? I can't think of it. The big group, the national group.
The Planned Parenthood?
No.
No?
No. Planned Parenthood I had nothing to do with. That gives out money to candidates. I'm having one of those moments. Okay. Doesn't matter. You probably know what I'm trying to think of, so.
but so they, that group decides based on that question?
Yes, right.
But, you know, a treasurer of the state of Ohio or the United States would have nothing to do with abortion rights. Why do you think that becomes an issue?
It's because you're a woman. They don't ask, they don't, I don't know that they ask men that question. But why would they ask me about guns?
Well, that's another question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be my question. Why would they ask me about guns? I had never shot a gun. But I believed in being protected with a gun. That was my belief. And now I think that should get serious on this subject.
Well, what brought about the change in your feeling on guns?
Well, children being shot, it's terrible. Yeah.
Do you think that's a societal thing, or is it about the weapons that are manufactured now?
It's the assault weapons. Yeah, the M15s or whatever they are. Is that it?
I think so. Yeah. ARs and...
I never know what they are. But it's the ones that shoot real fast,
In the world of social media and internet, do you think it would be easier or harder to run for office?
In what?
The social media and internet and everything that people have access to now.
Well, social media is such a part of the system, and I didn't have to deal with that back then. But I think it's made a lot of things easier for a candidate. I think a candidate can get on social media and not have to spend any money. Think about that. And, everything is so costly, but yet the cost has still gone up. I mean, it's not cheaper to run for office. It's terrible anymore. Yeah.
You know, when you look at one thing that has really changed, everybody's got a camera. Everybody's got a video camera. They've got a camera that can take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has changed the political scene?
I think it's changed a lot of things. The court cases, they've got a picture right there. Yeah.
When they can pull up the emails that people have shared, and people really have to be cognizant of what they're doing.
Yes. Why would you put anything bad on an email? I mean, anybody ought to have their head examined to do that. Mm. Yeah.
When you were Treasurer of the United States, what did you learn from that position that you carry to this day?
Well, I learned more how every position I had, I learned more how to work with people. Working with people is a real skill. And you're working with people at that level that can be very difficult.
What has happened to compromise in government?
Mm. No. It's not there.
When you were dealing with people who were of a different political party, was it awful as it is now?
No, I've had many times where they got up and walked out of the room when I was given a speech, and I didn't like that. Mm. I thought that was pretty nasty.
Yeah. That's not the most pleasant thing that's going on. No.
When I went to meet the different people on the finance committee, they were mostly Republicans. Really, I think there was probably more Republicans than Democrats. And they were very, very nice to me, and I was nice to them, of course. I mean, how else am I going to be? And I did not have to work with anybody difficult, politically difficult in Treasury. Although the Jewish religion, practically everybody in Treasury was Jewish, and so I put the Torah on my coffee table. But
you make concessions. Make concessions for what's going on.
Right.
You know, when you are in that position, do you have time, because you're so busy, to sit and look at it and say, wow, this is really something?
Oh, I did every day.
Yeah.
I'd look at this buffet. This buffet was an antique from the the circus people, and it was it belonged in another city in Maryland, and it was the most beautiful thing. And a desk that was a really old antique, and it was gorgeous too. I had those in my office. Yeah, they were beautiful antiques. I hate to think what they were worth. The buffet was enormous. It had places on each side of it where you could put flowers with a marble part on it, and it had a huge mirror. And when they had the fire, they took it away. I don't know where they took it, but it's gone now. I don't think it's there. When I got a letter from the current treasurer the other day, and she said she's remembering all the treasures that were in that office. And I'm going to have to ask her if that buffet is still there, because I think it went back to the original owner, circus people. What's the circus people's name?
The Ringling Brothers?
Yeah, I think it was, it's one of the circus people. I can't really remember for sure. Yeah.
How many hours do you put in a day in that position?
I was working all kinds of hours. I was flying. I was in the air more than I was on the ground. And I would work all weekends, and I was working all the time. In fact, I worked awfully hard, yeah.
Was that, is there any of that by choice? How much of that schedule do you set up?
Well, I set it up because I wanted to do everything I could do. And so I just went at it like crazy, yeah.
Well, and as everybody said who called in today, we certainly were very proud while all that was going on.
Yeah, right.
And it was a great time. Now, Mary Ellen will be at the pancake breakfast tomorrow morning, 9:30 until noon, and we'll have the waffle recipe there, pouring some coffee. We'll have a good time tomorrow morning. I'll be there as well. We're going to give away some Kiwanis pancake tickets next hour, but Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to come in and talk with you. It's just fun to look back on these things that have happened, and people who've been around, because there aren't many people who lived these experiences, and I think that's what the kids at school really absorbed, is meeting somebody who was number one from their hometown who got that far in life. It really shows that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
Yes, I think you can if the situation's right. Yeah.
How much does luck play into it?
Oh, I don't know, but I think I had a lot of help. Yeah.
Mary Ellen Withrow, always a pleasure to be with her. I'll be back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs.